the leadership class, the class that Brother Ben Thompson has been announcing. We've had so many people to sign up that I'm not for sure that the room is big enough. So I was informed that probably what we'll do the next time around is put a limit on 25, and if you're the 26th person to sign up, you have to wait until it's taught again. But I'm thrilled that people are excited about growing, that people are excited about revival. I've been preaching and teaching revival for years, and we've been stressing it. I noticed this, that if you preach miracles, miracles happen. If you preach baptism, baptisms happen. If you preach the necessity of receiving the Holy Ghost, then people are filled with the Holy Ghost. If you don't stress those things, you don't have any miracles. You have little or no new births at all, or baptisms. That's just the way it happens. I noticed that in the summer, when I was having a lot of difficulty with my back, sciatic nerve problems, that I wasn't able to get up and give a report on how many people received the Holy Ghost. And whenever I took a look at it, I thought, man, we sure did drop down. And then when we started reporting it, guess what happened? It started going up, 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 up. Tonight I want to speak on the subject of building blocks of faith. Building blocks of faith. I think we should put an S on that block. Let's talk about blocks. I think that's the way I turned it in, because that's the way I have it on my notes. But building blocks of faith. Have you ever gone into a child's room and had the blocks, alphabetical blocks, and she's trying to put her name together? More recently, Ava has been writing her name. And she's written her name all over everything that she's allowed to write it on, in a few places where you're not allowed. She came to me and she had a pen. She says, I can write my name. She calls me Papa. So she gets up and she writes it. I think she had it right. I couldn't tell. But in her mind, she had it right. It's always a big, big time. But you know, we're all still in school when it comes to salvation and Christianity. And there are certain blocks that you can add up that spells faith. And I want to talk about some of those. So if you would be so kind as turning the scripture to 2 Peter 1, verse 4 through 11. And then I have some more scriptures that I want to add immediately afterwards, but I'll have you to be seated. While you're turning to this, I remember challenging our congregation several years ago when we were trying to get the money together for this auditorium. And I asked a few questions. The first question I ask is, what kind of plans would you be making if you knew that you had the financial resources to complete it, or to complete them? Secondly, what kind of plans would you be making if you knew that you had all of the wisdom and the ability to see those plans to completion? Thirdly, what kind of plans would you be making if you knew that God would give you the power to perform and see them to completion? And the fourth question, what kind of plans would you be making if you knew you would not fail? Because if stewardship is practiced properly, there will never be a need in your family or in the church that God cannot and will not meet. But you have to practice it properly. You got to do things right. So 2 Peter, the first chapter, we start reading verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. You know how many promises are in the Bible? Now, I never went and looked it up, but one time I gave a message on how many promises, or I mentioned it in a message, but page after 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 page. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue or power. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if you do these things, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. I think this little passage of that we have just read to you, I got to tell you, it does something to me. I read it often. You notice I kind of got ahead of myself on another scripture because I'm so used to quoting this. And because your walk with God, it's progressive. You're always trying to get better. And even when you reach retirement age and retire off your job and rest your body some, you still want the inner man to be growing, getting better, wiser, more productive. God bless you. May be seated. Now I want to go to Philippians, the third chapter. And we want to read verse 7 through verse 9. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So he's talking about the importance of thinking on good things, keeping your mind on good things. Then I go to 1 John 5, verse 4. And the Apostle John says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So let's talk about the building blocks of faith. So both Paul and Peter, even though Paul's talking about the way you think and Peter's talking about a growth pattern and the importance of it, they're both talking about keeping yourself pure and holy, clean. I started out by saying that when you talk about things, you see things happen. When you think about things, you see things happen. And you can't go around all day long. Notice what Peter was talking about. He's talking about the lust of the world and things. If you go around all day long thinking of things that are not godly, things that are immoral, things that are not pure, harboring bitterness. Bitterness turns into hatred. If you go around thinking of those things all the time, how you can get even with someone, if you go around thinking about that, guess what happens? Then you alienate yourself from the Holy Spirit. And there's very little that's going to happen in your life. You want to be a productive Christian. If you go around all day long just being negative, we'll talk a little bit more about that later. Then what happens? Somebody comes with a need and such, and well, you're going to have to somehow pray yourself through in order to see God working through you to help that individual. It's just that way. If you go around unconcerned, in other words, if you really want to be a productive person, when I just talk about having a ministry here at Calvary Gospel Church, we're talking about having a ministry from Jesus, for Jesus, on your job or wherever. If you really want to have, if you want to be successful and you want to have a ministry, you're going to have to constantly think about certain things. It's got to dominate your mind. This is the reason why that sometimes I have to remind people to have hobbies. It's all right to have a hobby, but you know, if you spend all your time, as soon as the last amen is said, you're jumping on the bandwagon to do this, that, and the other. You can get so wrapped up in, let's say, fishing or playing golf. I certainly don't oppose people fishing. I don't oppose people playing golf. I like to fish. I don't fish much. I like to golf. I can't golf. Before I became unable to golf, I still couldn't golf. I never was very good at it. But if you get caught up, let's say, in the sports world, and you're able to quote all the statistics of all of the teams and the players, and whether it be football, basketball, or whatever. In other words, if you feed your mind more on things that are not spiritual, doesn't mean that these things are sinful, but if you spend your time thinking about these things more than you do of spiritual things, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to grow. And if that is the predominant characteristic of the church here, then the church is not going to grow. The church is going to grow in direct proportion to the number of people that are having constant revival in their mind and in their life. You should be able, on the spur of the moment, to witness to somebody, talk to somebody about the Lord, pray for somebody that needs a healing, encourage someone. In other words, you need to become totally obsessed with this idea that revival is a must in these last days. You got to do that. And we here at Calvary Gospel Church are quite unique in that we try our best to follow Scripture. You know one reason why we hold the Touch Twice clinics here? We host it because when it was started by Sister Peg Baker, who is now attending our church, no other church would allow it to happen. And the church that provides us with the most professional help as far as doctors and nurses and such would not allow a Touch Twice clinic to be held, because Touch Twice clinic, for the most part, reaches the down and the outers. And it's been said by many of the churches in the area, we discourage our members from reaching the down and the outers. In other words, we want to reach people that are qualified to be any, to be a teacher or any position we have. That's what we want. But you see, we might could adopt that, and we might become wealthier, maybe even bigger. But can we disregard Scripture? The last day, Jesus said, "Go out in the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in." Who do we get? He said, "Well, because the sophisticated people, they all gave an excuse as to why they can't become involved in this last day revival. But you go out and you get the halt, the maimed, the lame, the blind, the poor. Go out and get them." For he said, "My house must be filled." This reason why Paul, when he talked about the people coming to the Lord, he said, "Not many wise men, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." And even though after we have been filled with the Holy Ghost, and many of you were, you didn't have two dimes to rub together when you came to God, and God has blessed you abundantly. Good family, a good mate, good home, a good job. It's easy for us to forget where we came from. So when we were approached about the Touch Twice, we looked at it. There are certain things about it we did not appeal to us. But on the other hand, we were looking for some, are looking for more ways to reach into our community, to assist, because we felt that what we need to do is build more bridges to the community and not build walls where we're not approachable. And since then, years ago, almost every week or two I'd hear a word about Calvary Gospel Church. Oh, it's just a cult over there. They won't let you do this, and they won't let you do that, and they won't let you do this, and they won't let you do that. Since we have built bridges to the community through our CIP program, our prison program, our bus ministry, and also through Touch Twice, I have not heard one single word of negativity concerning the way our ladies dress, having long hair, uncut hair. I haven't heard a word. All I've heard is, "Pastor, we just want to commend you for reaching out into our community. What a job you're doing." So this business of growth is so important. But if we continue to grow, our faith has to grow. So what I want to talk about is building blocks of faith. In other words, like a child, setting up to spell his or her name. Let's put some blocks together that when we look at all of them, it just says faith. Faith. The first block that I want to call your attention to is when Paul says think on these things, you've got to think more about God than you do about the devil. Now, I don't understand why, but I've been places where super spiritual Christians, all they wanted to talk about all night was devils being cast out. I remember when I was in Texas Bible College, we had a couple of men there, and they were always talking about the devils that they cast out in their church. Oh, they had some stories like you would not believe. But you never heard these young men talking about spiritual things like people dancing in the Spirit, being slain in the Spirit, getting baptized, running the aisles. But that's what you have to do. Now you think about God. Did you read or did you hear? I both read and saw on the internet, on the news, that scientists are telling us that in our present galaxy, just our galaxy, the Milky Way, that when they reevaluated recently with better technology, microscopes that telescopes where they can see beyond what we've had in the past, they're saying that our Milky Way has in excess of 27 billion planets the size of the Earth. And we thought we only had 9 or 8 because one of them was deplanetized. I don't know if that's a word or not. Pluto. You think about it, 27 billion? They were thinking they were all stars. So, no, they don't have any light of their own. It's just the sun, and it's illuminating them, the moon. And the Milky Way, our galaxy, is only one galaxy. Now you think about how great God is. You know, people going all around talking about Spider-Man and all of this kind of stuff. I guess Spider-Man's supposed to be part man and part spider. Now let me ask you this. Why would you want to think of that when you can think about the God-man, Jesus Christ, part man and part God? Make Spider-Man look like... You know what I'm talking about. But you've got to think of God and keep your mind on God. You know, if you keep your mind on God, let me tell you, you don't have any problem praying. You have no problem meditating. You have no problem speaking in tongues on a daily basis. It just comes out of you. And you know, isn't that better than thinking of trash? I mean, just trash. They say it's impossible to have a blank mind. Now, every now and then, I think mine goes blank. But that's what they say, that you're always thinking of something. So it's a matter of choosing what you want to think about. Now, you're going to get off on the wrong road and start, no, come back here. You can't go there, John. Don't think of that now. Just forget it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm glad, Lord Jesus, when I hit the first bump when I left the road, that you called my attention to the fact that I'm off the road. Call me back when we get back on the road. So that's a building block that we put up. That's one of the things that causes faith to happen and to occur. And the second thing is to read your Bible often. I won't put the word daily in there. I don't know. You know, when I had this back trouble this past summer, there are times when I just wanted to close my eyes and if I could get out of pain. But I got my Bible and I set it right down by the big chair. I said, I need to read this Bible. See, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I've got this building block of thinking on God. So I'm thinking about God. But see, all that I need to know about God is found in the Scripture. So I open the Bible. And I wore out the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the book of Acts. How many pages do you have to go until you find out about miracles and things that really encourage your faith? Wow. See, the New Testament saints in the book of Acts found something in God that most churches in our day are not finding. And what a lot of Christians are not finding, even apostolics. You know, I think God wants every church to grow. I think if the church is not growing, there is a reason. And of course, the main reason is because you don't think it can grow for whatever reason. But, you know, if you have faith, it's going to grow. Now, Sister Grant and I started three churches before we came here. This church had a pulpit that I didn't have to build. Every church that I preached in, I built my own pulpit. And I started out, Sister Grant and I did most of the witnessing. Now, you say you can't do it with little children, but we took our little children with us. We didn't have any choice. A couple of our boys were so mean that nobody would keep them. And yet, pray at the altar or go to prayer meetings, never missed a prayer meeting, never left church service early. Didn't do any of that. And the thing about it is, in all of the years of these kids growing up, we never missed church because one of them was sick. You know, it's just how God took care of us. You know, it's just that's the way it is. Pray in a prayer meeting and put one kid on one knee and one on the other knee, and they're fighting and squirming, and you just tell them, now look, you can't leave, because I know if they leave, they're going to be out there slapping and hitting, and like I see some of these kids doing. Now, if I can pray at the altar and keep my mind on God and do that, I know you can visit with your brother and sister without letting your kids run all over the church. Just had to throw that in, you know. But read that Bible. Read that Bible. Read that Bible. Boy, I don't know, you know. I cannot understand how people can read their Bible and come up with something. Like we talk about cheap grace. How in the world can you read the Bible and come up with this idea that grace is license to sin? You don't find that in the Scripture. You know what your problem is? You're not reading your Bible, and you're thinking about how good you are, and that it would almost be a sin for God to send you to hell. You know, you got to be hung up on yourself. Now the third thing, and of course, if you're reading your Bible daily and you're thinking of God all the time, and those are building blocks of faith. The third thing would be a good attitude, a positive attitude. I talked about bitterness. I talked about hatred. I talked about stamping out negativity. Try to always think positive about things. Now, if I wanted to, if I tried hard enough, I could start almost any place in this building and find something in short order to criticize you about. And people do that, as if they think they're perfect. Now, you know, if they've caught in a fault, they always say, well, I'm not perfect. Well, then don't expect everybody else to be. You know, I had four sisters. I always wanted a brother. Mom kept bringing these girls home. I said, I wanted a brother. She says, you get what God gives you, John. And you look around. The person next to you, your brother in Christ, that's what God gave you. You have to fight for him. You have to hold him up. You have to love him. That's what God gave you. Isn't that great? You know, the thing about it is, we're talking about God never told us to win the world. He never told us to win Dane County. He told us to preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, preach the gospel. We preach it, God saves. We don't have any choice in who he saves. All we can do is preach it. And for this reason, then, we just need to love everybody. Good attitude toward life. You know, every now and then, I've been working with an individual that's out of town, and it's been calling me regularly. And I try to believe God. Maybe I can say something that'll change this person's thinking. It's just like life is not fair. Why is all this bad happening to me? You know, I think the first thing that happens when you get sick, you need to repent. It might be that you have sinned. Maybe that you've done something wrong. And what's wrong with repenting? But on the other hand, after you repented and done everything that you know to do, still there can be prevailing problems in your life. Maybe you're just going through a test. The Bible says the trial of your faith worketh patience. Patience. Well, there's some people that are just not patient at all. Things don't go that way. They just fall apart. Oh. Just all over the page all the time. Rattle about everything. Just a little. You know, they say that the memory of a fish is only about 5 seconds long. Can you believe that? So here you go and you let this line down. This hook's got a worm on it. And here these fish run up. And one fish looks at his brother and says, hey, Joe, what's that? And Joe says, Ralph, I don't know. But it looks good. And Raph says, yeah, but let's look at, no. Boom, got it. Pulling out of the water. Raph said, Joe, let it go. I can't let it go. I'm caught. Fisherman looks at it and says, I believe I'll throw this one back. Throws him back. So Joe joins Raph again. All of a sudden the worm comes back down. They run up there. Joe says, what's this? Ralph says, I don't know, but I think we need to look at it a little longer. Joe says, looks good to me. Bloop. Ralph says, Joe, let it go. Pull him out of the water. The fisherman says, you know, I think we just caught this one. Throw him back in. Down comes the worm. Joe runs up there and says, look at this. And Ralph says, I don't know. I think we need to look longer. And Joe says, oh, no. I get it. Bloop. Joe, let it go. I can't. I'm hooked. Take him off the hook, drop it back down. Down comes a worm again. Joe says, look at this. Some people are that way, you know. Some of you could get caught 5 times in one day on the same worm. You never learn the lesson, you know. Oh, my. How often we forget. Let's not forget how good God is. And let's leave those negative things alone, because negativity will hook you, swallow you up. So that's another building block. The fourth building block would be just a revival. And we talk about you staying revived. Now, when we talked about thinking on God continually, and we talked about reading the Bible, we talked about attitude, talk about revival, because all these go hand in hand. You know, if you're thinking of God all the time, you're communicating with God, God is pouring life into you. But I do know of people that they pray a lot, they fast a lot, but still they're not spiritually minded. How can that be? How can you fast and still you're not spiritually minded? Thinking of the devil more than you think of God, thinking of demons more than you think of angels, reading your Bible, but selectively you read the Bible. Of all the denominations in the world, I'm talking about Christian denominations, most all of them took their major text out of the Bible, you know. But they became very selective. So when we say revival, we're talking about, I want a great move of God. I want God to change me. The greater I see him to be, the greater I can be, and the more effective I can be in this world. 1 John 4, verse 4. Let's put a scripture on this block. Likewise, 1 John 4, verse 4. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I remember hearing about a preacher got that mixed up. He was up preaching, and he was a little bit aggravated at some of the people. So, man, he was letting them have it. He said, well, he was going to quote 1 John 4, verse 4, and this is what he said. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in you. We all have the Holy Ghost, you know. So what's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eye. Now, let me ask you this. Is God greater than all that? Yes, he is. Is he greater than the devil himself? Most of us, you live a lifetime and Lucifer never come to you. It may be many of his demons had come. My, if Lucifer visited, if you think that Lucifer visited you, you must be convinced that you are able to turn the world upside down. But demons, they like to feed on these things. And sometimes you just make excuses about, I'm tired. I just can't make it. So revival, the fifth block, souls. You want to be a soul winner. When you get to heaven, you want to be noted by the Lord for one thing for sure, and that is, I was a soul winner. I witnessed to people. I brought people to church. Maybe the people you brought, you didn't think that they were as worthy to have God as some of the ones that Brother or Sister brought, but nevertheless, they were people, souls. Bring in the rejects. The house of the Lord is going to be filled with rejects. If you were not a reject in society when you came to God, it's because that you came earlier than what others have come. But you were just as dead as any dead person. You know, when you're dead, you can't get any deader. Isn't that right? So when you go to the funeral home and you see someone that's in a casket and looks just like himself. You know, I don't know that I've ever seen a person in a casket look just like himself or herself. But nevertheless, you know. I told Sister Grant, I said, you know, I've been down so long and you've been waiting on me. If I happen to die, just put on my tombstone, here lies John, dead as usual. Oh, Jesus, Lord. I was telling something, and this had some relevance, I'm sure, but I can't now remember what it was. Oh, my. So all of these become building blocks. Building blocks. You know, I determined that when I was sick, I said, you know what? The devil is trying to destroy me, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn tables on him. If he thinks that this is going to destroy me, he's got another thing coming, because I've got more time to pray and read my Bible and seek God than I've ever had. And I'm not going to get down on life and get down on myself. Okay, the sixth building block of faith is miracles. Nothing is impossible with God. With God, all things are possible. Wheelchairs abandoned. Crutches stacked against the wall. Cancers being healed. Heart conditions being healed. Can you think of that? You think of that. And if you can't think of that without thinking that maybe that'll happen, then take the Bible and read the Bible then. Go back to the reading the Bible. Miracles. Every service is a miracle service. Time for a miracle. Time for a miracle. People can be healed. People can be set free. Demons can be cast out. God can give you hope. Well, there's no hope. God can give you hope. I think of some of these precious people that have been so concerned about the fiscal cliff and how that unemployment. Of course, they've solved that momentarily. But, you know, you think about someone's been drawing unemployment for 2 years and can't find a job, and all of a sudden it's going to be cut off and they can't draw Social Security. You think about it. What would you do if you were in a position like that? What would you do if both you and your wife worked and both of you became unemployed? Now, the reason why I'm saying this, and want to challenge your faith, because see, after a while, you can build such a case that you feel sorry for yourself. You know, you can just think on this to the point you say, "Oh my, what am I going to do?" Well, wait a minute, you haven't lost your job yet. You know. But I will assure you that if this ever happens to you, that God has a miracle working for you. See, we have to work in God's economy, not in the economy of the USA. Seriously. We got to believe God. God's economy is always good. Always good. I just saw before I came in church where the U.S. Treasury Department is thinking about making a gold coin that's worth $1 trillion. And they were talking about making 15 or 16 of them so they can pay off the national debt. Now, this sounds funny, but I remember when I first moved to Madison, I was going down the street one day, and outside of one of these loan offices, you know, where they cash your checks and all this and charge you 25% and you know, bring your car title in, they'll loan you money and all this. There was a sign out there that says, "Borrow enough money to be debt free." Now, how are you going to do that?
Yeah.
So we're going to print 16 coins worth $1 trillion apiece, and we're going to pay off the national debt. We're going to pay ourselves out of debt. You may say, "How are we going to do that?" You may explain how that's done. You didn't expect me to, because I don't know. That's one of those things that doesn't work. Okay, the seventh thing, spiritual growth. You know, you grow spiritually just like you're converted. Here's how you grow spiritually. You gain knowledge that gives you understanding, that gives you wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That's how you grow. That's how you were converted. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached Jesus Christ, that you crucified him and he was the Lord of glory. And all of a sudden they got to thinking about this. So it's during the understanding process that the attitude then begins to change. So quite often I talk about knowledge, attitude, and action. In the Old Testament, it's knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. But that's how you were converted, and that's how you grow spiritually. So if you run against any problem, it doesn't make any difference what it is. Let's say all of a sudden you developed this tightwad spirit and you decided you didn't want to pay tithing. I do use the word pay because it's something you owe God. It's like a note. God says, "Okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you $1,000 this week. But I want you to understand that I'm going to put $100 this in your hands, and you owe that to God. You owe it to me just like you owe a mortgage." That's why God said, "You have robbed me." So let's say you develop this tightwad attitude. Ugh. Well, I don't know. Looks like the preacher's got a new suit on. You know, people think that way. Let me tell you. Make a long story longer. Let me tell you. So, I had to go one time and help a church who was in trouble. They're sitting over here and sitting over here, and nobody said a word. Oh, cold. You saw those icicles hanging out? There was icicles all coldness between the people. I walk in there and I go up to front. Well, I'm supposed to talk to them. Now, the reason why that I was asked to come by some of the members of the church, they were calling me, they said, you know, we don't like what our preacher's doing. I said, oh, we've taken action. I said, what? I said, we're going to starve him out. Not going to pay his check anymore, and we're not going to pay tithing anymore until he leaves. Starve the preacher out. I said, way to go, way to go. That sounds like something Jesus would have done. Well, we got all these feelings. That's what you want to do. When you get bad feelings, make sure you have a plan so you never get over them. Way to go. Way to go. So I went there and I said, now I don't want a person saying a word for 3 nights. I'm going to give you 2 Bible studies a night. We'll open it up for a question and answer when it's over. So I taught, I started with the Sermon on the Mount, started with the golden rule of life. You do unto others as you'd have them to do unto you. That's what Jesus said. So you treat everybody exactly the way you want to be treated. So if you make a mistake, you want people to lambast you? You want them to speak evilly of you? Oh, no, no, but I'm different. Oh, yeah, I know you are. That's the reason why we're having the problem. So I taught 3 nights. I said, I don't want anybody saying amen to anything, because remember this, when I hit something on something that you're agreeing with and you say amen, remember I'm sweeping on everybody's doorstep, including yours. And so I don't want anybody to say anything. So when I finished, one brother got up and he started weeping and crying. He said, oh, Brother Grant. He said, I've done wrong and I want to ask my pastor to forgive me. So I circulated a petition and got people to sign it. How wrong I was. Another one got up and said, Brother Grant, I did wrong. I signed this petition and I should never have done that. This was not right. I'm talking about how you grow spiritually. So you see, regardless of whether it's a tithe issue that you can't understand, or whether it's maybe an issue with your boss, and you have a tendency to be rebellious, remember, you might be right, but it doesn't mean you have a right just because you're right. You might be better off to just grit your teeth and swallow real hard and go ahead and work, because you might not have a job. Remember, he's not always right, but he's your boss. You follow what I'm saying? So it depends on how much you really value your paycheck. This book is surprising to me because it contains all the information to solve behavioral problems and spiritual problems. What an incredible book. And you want to grow spiritually? When you have a problem, go to the book. I've had so many people drop me cards and things, said, well, I had a problem. I wanted to come in to see you. And I got thinking, what's Brother Grant going to tell me? I know what he's going to tell me. So I went to the Bible. Brother Grant, thank you so much for teaching us to follow the Bible. So that's the seventh thing. The last one that I put on here is, how can I make someone's day? Which, what can I say to someone to encourage them? Man. One pastor asked me, he said, Brother Grant, You've had great growth in Madison. You got a great bunch of people, and every time I come there and preach, it's just people are dancing and shouting and getting along. And you know, Sunday night I made reference to shaking hands and could get you back, and then I said, just turn to the person next to you, but don't move away. And before I knew it, some of you are three pews away talking to people. You know, in order for a man to have friends, he must make himself friendly. If you feel, I have no friends, what are you doing about it? Well, nobody called me. Well, what you going to do, just sit there and not call somebody? Are you going to punish yourself and feel bad at the whole world because nobody called you? Hey, your finger works too, doesn't it? Dial that number. Call that person. Talk to that person. Oh, I don't know if they make friends. And the real secret to having many, many friends is you make every person look as good as you possibly can in the eyes of other people. Learn to make people feel good about other people. Let me tell you something. If you do, they'll feel good about you. If you want people to start leaving, you just start ratting on everybody. Digging up dirt. You've heard the old proverbial saying, he who slings mud always loses ground. And with that, I'm closing. I'd like for you to stand. Oh, building blocks of faith. Keep your mind on God, not the devil. Manifest a good attitude. Keep revival fires burning in your soul. Be a soul winner. Expect miracles. Continue to grow spiritually. And try to make someone's day. Now you stack all those up. What do you see? I see faith. I see faith. I've built my faith. I've built my faith. Oh, praise God. I don't know. Do you feel good tonight? Well, I feel good spiritually. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Worship the Lord. If you have a need, you can bring that need to the altar this time. Over here on this side, we pray for the sick. So if you're sick in body, come on down. If you've been struggling with some problem or such, just come and stand right in front of the pulpit. And if you need to receive a strengthening in God or receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, come over here and stand on your right. Come on right now as they sing.